This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
دروس من المسجد النبوي الشريف.
In English.
In English.
In English.
And this is why Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah ta'ala, when he talked about this issue of avoiding the muharramat, you know, because many of the scholars who have explained this hadith, they say anybody can avoid muharramat. The issue is that there's difficulty in doing some of the wajibat, some of the things that we are commanded to do. And that's why, even for example, all of you have come, you've making hajj. Allah Azza wa Jal in the Quran explicitly says, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. For Allah, there's it is a duty on mankind to make the hajj of the bayt. It is a duty to Allah, a duty owed to Allah by mankind to make hajj of the bayt. مَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. He who has the ability to do so. So there's that conscious dhikr or mention of ability. So some of the scholars who have explained this hadith, they say, as it relates to prohibitions, then prohibition means something that you don't do. And anybody cannot do something. Yani, we're not supposed to drink intoxicants, for example. You don't have to drink intoxicants. Actually, to go out and disobey Allah requires that you do something. You have to go, you have to purchase it, or you have to make it, and then you have to grab it with your hand, you have to lift it to your... There's action. But if you don't do it, then you don't have to do anything. And so they say that this is why we have to leave off all of the prohibitions. Ibn Rajab said, no. There's an issue here. And that is that sometimes the nafs desires something so much that it is like you don't have the ability to refrain from doing it. Because of how strong you desire something. That shahwa. That desire that you have to do something. And so it requires an active intention from the Muslim to leave off the haram. And everybody has different things that they desire. Some of those things, you may have trained yourself to desire that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, subhanallah, when it was time for salat, what would he say to Bilal? أَرِحْنَا بِهَا يَا بِلَا. يعني, comfort us with the salat, يَا بِلَا. يعني, call the adhan, call the iqamah, so that we can pray it and find this comfort. And the believer, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Is it not with the remembrance of Allah that the person finds tranquility? So some people, but the reality is that for many Muslims, and this was the reality of all of the companions, just about, is that they accepted Islam, except for the children of the companions, yani those who were born after the Prophet ﷺ was sent. All of them accepted Islam. And before Islam, many of them did things that were impermissible in Islam. So they used to drink intoxicants. And intoxicants are what? They're addictive. So it doesn't, just because somebody takes shahada and they become a Muslim, it doesn't mean that the next day they're not addicted anymore. And so it's a struggle. But it is a struggle that we have to go through. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as he said in this hadith, مَا نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْهُ فَاجْتَنِبُوا. Whatever I have prohibited you from, then distance yourself from it. So if for example, you used to do something, or you did something, or you do something that is haram, then avoid the things that lead to the haram. Ikhwan, we're talking about this because this is fiqh. This is real fiqh. In terms of how you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you have to learn how to leave the haram. It's not just something. Some of the Muslim youth, for example, especially those who may not be married, they get addicted to looking at things that they shouldn't look at, without explicitly mentioning it. How does that happen? It happens because they allow themselves to be in predicaments which make that possible. So they go into a room and they lock the door with unfettered access to the internet. And then one thing leads to another. And then Allah al-Musta'an. But if they never went into the room by themselves, would that have happened? Absolutely not. لا تقربوا الزنا. Don't go close to zina. When you go into the classroom, for those of you, for example, who live in the West and the classrooms are mixed, boys and girls, Tayyib Yahi, nobody told you had to sit next to Jane and Mary. Go somewhere else. Sit in a different part of the class. Because when you sit next to her, it's like you feel like impolite because you're not saying anything. So how you doing today? And then the salam leads to kalam, as they say. So it starts with a hello, and then it becomes a little bit more than that. And then she needs help with the homework. Can't really meet her at the house. We meet at the Starbucks. We're not alone. Everybody's around. Starbucks a little crowded tonight. It's finals week. We can go back to my house. It's no problem. Parents are home. Next time, invited over. The parents aren't home. You see how it goes from one thing to another. It's never just somebody just commit zina, like, you know, he just woke up that day and it just happened. Nah. There is a process involved. And that is why the Prophet ﷺ didn't just command us to leave it. He said, ijtanibu. Distance yourself from it. That means that you leave it and you leave off every single thing that would cause you to fall into whatever that haram may be. And that is why, and that is where the believer has to constantly check himself to make sure that he is avoiding those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made impermissible for him to do, and those things that will cause him or lead him to falling into that which is impermissible to do.